Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. BirdwatchersGeneralStore.com.
And here's a special message from our friends at Ocean State Bird Club. They can't lead their free group walks right now, but they hope you're still getting your outdoor time in by watching birds. Find Ocean State Bird Club online at OceanStateBirdClub.org. Find them on Facebook, and you can tell them what you're seeing as the spring migration continues. Ocean State Bird Club. Good morning. Welcome to our show number 776. As we air our show live here on the 19th of April, we note that we're just 3 days away from Earth Day 2020, April 22nd, the 50th anniversary of this historic and important day, now celebrated by folks in at least 193 countries. As we all try to renew our pledges to protect our planet and try to redouble our commitment to do the work necessary to help ensure that protection. The biggest challenge to planet Earth out there is reflected in this year's theme, climate action. This year's event, of course, will occur in the shadow of the novel coronavirus pandemic, with many activities shifting to ones in which physical separation of the participants is paramount. But that won't stop folks from doing their part to help stop and maybe reverse the steady decline of our planet's health. Earth Day .org will connect you to all of that.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Here are some of the stories and videos we have for you right now on our TalkingBirds.com website, as well as on our Facebook page. Back to the question about whether there's a connection between the environmental damage that's been done to our planet and the coronavirus, we'll link you to a compelling article that answers in the affirmative about that from the folks at the Rainforest Alliance. Our friend and BirdAbility founder, Virginia Rose, who joined us here in a recent show, is being featured on National Audubon's website right now. We'll link you to that page that explains how we can all join Virginia and help find accessible outdoor spaces for folks with mobility challenges. Meanwhile, this is certainly a good time to stay at home and watch a couple of nesting bird webcams, and we'll connect you to a barred owl webcam, joining the one with bald eagles and linking to several others as well. And that's some of what you'll find on our TalkingBirds.com website and on our Facebook page right now. And don't forget to check out our Talking Birds flock, where you can compare notes and share photos and such with other birders all over the country. Just look for Talking Birds Flock on Facebook. That's a familiar sound to many, and to you, maybe that means you'll win our mystery bird contest. This is a preview of our contest coming along in just a little bit, in which we'll feature some wonderful prizes. We'll describe those in a moment, but first, the bird, mostly light gray on the face and underparts, black and white barred patterns on the back, wings, and tail. Adult males have a red cap going from the bill to the nape of the neck. Females have a large red patch on the nape and a small one above the bill. A reddish tinge on the belly is often difficult to see. Our bird, about 9 to 11 inches long with a wingspan of 15 to 18 inches, feeds on insects found on tree trunks along with fruits, nuts and seeds, and nests in decayed cavities of dead trees, old stumps, or live trees with soft wood. You know this bird. Our prize is the Droll Yankees Original Iconic A6F Classic Tube Feeder, featuring durable metal parts that squirrels can't chew and backed by a lifetime warranty against squirrel damage. Plus, bonus prizes including the app that makes learning bird sounds a game. That's the LarkWire app, available as a download to your iOS device or for online access. And a 12-ounce bag of delicious, shade-grown, bird-friendly Birds and Beans coffee. Prizes, clues, and the sound of our mystery bird in the contest coming along in just a little bit. Meanwhile,
I just want to thank you.
We want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, at least two thank yous to two new Talking Birds ambassadors, listeners who have agreed to help us spread the word, about our show and about birds and conservation. And thank you to Karen Carlberg from Beckett, Massachusetts. We met her at the Mass Audubon Birders meeting in Worcester, Mass, not long ago. She has some terrific pictures on Facebook at Cattail Photo. That's Cattail with a K. Thank you, Karen. And thank you to Camille Petreca from Wethersfield, Connecticut. She used to be a Massachusetts person. She said, I used to be in the Brookline Bird Club when I lived in Watertown, Massachusetts, in the 70s. Thank you so much, Camille, for becoming a Talking Birds ambassador. Talking Birds listeners, will you join Camille and Karen and become an ambassador? It's really easy to do. Just go to our website, talkingbirds.com. Look for Get Involved at the top of the page and then choose the Become an Ambassador option. We'll send you some little cards to hand out whenever it's appropriate. Meanwhile, we'd like to welcome another radio station to the Talking Birds family. It's WBMS, serving Boston Metro South from the great city of Brockton, Massachusetts at 101.1 FM and 1460 AM, now airing Talking Birds live on Sunday mornings, 9:30 Eastern. Still to come on our show today, we'll talk with amazingly talented writer John Nelson about his terrific new book called Flight Calls. Plus, we'll catch up with Mike O'Connor in a Let's Ask Mike segment in which Mike will offer some suggestions about bird-themed movies to watch at home while you're maybe spending a little extra time there these days. And up next, a bird known to some as the Great Northern Diver is today's featured feathered friend. Presented by Birdwatching Magazine. For more than a quarter century, Birdwatching has been North America's premier magazine about wild birds and birding. Along the coastline of Massachusetts, as we've watched late-season buffleheads, common eiders, red-breasted mergansers, long-tailed and harlequin ducks, surf scoters, and more, we usually find one or two common loons in the mix. And that was true this past week, as we observed a common loon looking a little less than well-groomed in its transition to its beautiful breeding plumage. Its spectacular summer pattern is matched by its wild wailing and yodeling, heard on lakes and ponds all across Canada and the northern U.S. that help establish the common loon as a symbol of the wild north, and causing even folks that don't show much interest in birds in general to be loon lovers. And that sharply defined black and white breeding plumage with the checkerboard pattern on the back and intense red eyes add to the magic of this magnificent bird, whose relatives include the red-throated, Pacific, Arctic, and yellow-billed loons. The common loon propels itself with its feet underwater to catch fish, with sharp rearward slanting projections inside the upper mandible. On land, the common loon won't win any wind sprints. The placement of its legs way back on its body make it as clumsy on land as it is efficient in the water. When spring arrives, so do the breeding colors and haunting calls of the common loon, Gavia immer, today's Talking Birds featured feathered friend. By the way, on an upcoming show, we'll be talking with Harry Vogel from a wonderful group called the Loon Preservation Committee. Meanwhile, if you haven't visited our new TalkingBirds.com website, we hope you will. We have some pretty nice stuff there with pictures and photos, and I guess pictures are photos, and videos and other stuff we hope will be of interest. And do follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Talking Birds. Well, John Nelson is, among many other things, an intrepid and knowledgeable birder and bird club leader. He's the founder and chairman of the Massachusetts Association of Bird Clubs. He's a retired English professor who once worked on iron ore ships in the Great Lakes, and he is the author of a terrific new book called Flight Calls, Exploring Massachusetts Through Birds. And he joins us on the phone now to tell us a bit about it. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Ray. Thanks for having me on your show.
You are very welcome. I am a fan of your book, and I truly mean that. It is just terrific, and I guess my highest praise would be by saying it could be enjoyed by two types of people, those who are interested in birds and those who are not interested in birds, because as wonderful as the bird stories and descriptions are, there's so much more to the book. Tell us what you wanted readers, John, to take away from reading it.
Well, I think you described it. I tried to write a book that would appeal to serious birders, but also to a wide audience with a casual interest. It's a collection of essays and stories about birds, some published in literary magazines, some in birding magazines, and a lot of it's new material for the book. So it's unified by birds. It's partly a story of my personal discovery of birds and my love and fascination for them, but it's also an exploration of Massachusetts, kind of a tour around the state, Cape Ann, Mount Auburn Cemetery, hawk watching, Cape Cod, but it's also explorations in time. It's got a lot of history. We live in a place with a rich history, and I go back to the Native Americans and early settlers and explorers who came to Massachusetts. So it was written to engage a wide audience. I think the most heartening feedback I've got is not just from Massachusetts birders, but from other readers who don't consider themselves birders at all, and also from birders out of state, because mm-hmm. it focuses on Massachusetts, but I think I hope at least a lot to appeal to birders anywhere.
I think there's no doubt about that. And you managed to weave through your book in the most seamless way references to quotes from and anecdotes about all kinds of interesting and famous birders, historical figures and artists, from John James Audubon to Abraham Lincoln to Joni Mitchell and Jimi Hendrix. And at the beginning of one chapter, you talk about learning the song of a particular bird, and you connect it to a story by William Faulkner. I wonder if you'd read that brief passage from your book right at the beginning of chapter 3.
Yes, this is called Whippoorwill Synchronicity, and I'll read the first paragraph. It was among the first bird songs I came to know. Before English settlers named the birds, Native American tribes gave it their own onomatopoetic names. The Cherokee called the bird Waguli. Poet Amy Clampett describes its song as the whip-sawing voice of obsession, a sound repeating itself like the stuck groove in an LP. If the wind was right, Mary, that's my wife, Mary and I could hear it in the darkness beyond our deck, rhythmic, propulsive, unflagging. When did these birds ever eat?
Good question. Well, you're writing, as you said, about the eastern whippoorwill, and then we get to read your description of something that happens as you finish reading that Faulkner piece. Should we leave that as a tease for readers, John, or do you want to describe what happened?
Well, it's actually a story of kind of two famous birders who were mentors, Jerry Soucy and Larry Jodry, who've passed away. But they always came to my neighborhood to hear their whippoorwills on Cape Ann, and I sort of blend that in with a story called Barn Burning by William Faulkner, which uses whippoorwills in its ending in a really beautiful and moving way. And I won't give away the whole thing, but it sort of brings together the Faulkner story with memories of Larry and Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, your book also contains an extended rant about the naming of residential developments after birds that are no longer around, thanks to those developments themselves. And you want to comment on that?
Sure. Well, I guess one thing I would say is, this book takes a serious look at birds and bird conservation, but it also, it's, I guess, always risky to say I think I'm a funny writer, but I think there's a lot of humor in the book, mostly at my expense, but not always. I think this book kind of brings the two together. So there's a couple chapters about birding by bicycle, and there's one chapter called On a Street with No Name, which is, as I bicycle around, I keep coming across streets named after birds or developments named after birds that aren't there anymore because they've been driven out by the streets and developments. So it is a rant. I guess I should mention, if readers want a little sample of the book, that chapter has been posted on Birdwatching Magazine's website. They've actually, I've published a fair amount there, and they've got four or five short articles, not always from this book, on their website.
All right. Birdwatchingdaily.com, I think, is the correct address.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Well, inevitably, John, you talk about the challenges facing birds and specifically, too, about climate change as you wrap up the book and you speculate about the future of birds in our natural world. What's your level of optimism or pessimism these days about this future?
Well, I guess by temperament, I'm a natural optimist, but objectively, it's hard to be too optimistic about the future of birds. We've had reports about the massive decline of birds. This final chapter looks at the prospects for birds in our state. It relies heavily on State of the Birds reports from Mass Audubon, including one that focuses specifically on climate change. I guess my feeling is that I quote Thoreau in that chapter, where he says, "We need to impart our courage, not our despair." I think the coronavirus has taught us this as well. We need hope. We need to nourish hope. We have to work for what we believe in, even if there objectively are great obstacles. Mm-hmm. So I try to be hopeful. I try not to despair. And I try to work in a way that's helpful toward goals of preserving birds. And I, you know, at the end, I talk about just preserving the birds in my neighborhood, whippoorwills, towhees. I just heard my first towhee in the yard this morning. Nice. So, you know, if those are the birds, I came to birding late. Those are the birds I've come to love. Those are among the birds I want to preserve.
Let me finish up here, John, by saying that along with your writing being thoughtful and fascinating and insightful, it is very funny, especially in the chapter called The Birding John Nelsons, plural, in which even having the letter R as a middle initial doesn't keep you from encountering folks with your exact same name. Have you found peace with that yet?
Yes. I've often been confused with, well, it's actually two other birding John Nelsons in Massachusetts, but one in particular. But in that chapter, I talk about how we finally meet. Actually, any time we arrive together with a birding group, there are very predictable and repetitious jokes about our names. But he's an excellent birder, a very nice guy, so... yes, I found peace with it.
All right. John Nelson is the author of Flight Calls, Exploring Massachusetts Through Birds. And take John's word for it and my word for it, folks. You don't have to be in or from Massachusetts to connect with it and enjoy it. That's for sure. Flight Calls, Exploring Massachusetts Through Birds by John Nelson. John R. Nelson, that is. John, thanks so much for being on with us, and I hope a million people buy and read your book.
So do I. Thank you very much, Ray.
Coming up here on Talkin' Birds next, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
What's one of your favorite memories?
Let's see. Well, there was this one time I went snorkeling in the Caribbean when I was a kid. It really just blew my mind. I mean, when you're sitting on the beach, it's so peaceful and... you sort of forget there's a whole other world under there, just full of all kinds of life. We saw the most beautiful corals. I remember thinking they were waving at us as they moved with the ocean. And then there were all these amazing fish. They kind of reminded me of tropical birds. They were so bright and colorful, just darting all over the place like birds in the sky. I'll never forget it. It completely changed the way I look at the ocean.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Our Mystery Bird Contest is presented by Red Start Birding. Red Start Birding is your new resource for birding optics, gear, and expertise. Great birding starts at redstartbirding.com. That's our mystery bird. What is it? Tell us definitively or take a guess. If no correct answer is received, a drawing will determine our winner of some beautiful prizes here, which we'll describe again in a moment. Our mystery bird, mostly light gray on the face and underparts, black and white barred patterns on the back wings and tail, Adult males have a red cap going from the bill to the nape of the neck. Females have a large red patch on the nape and a small one above the bill. A reddish tinge on the belly, often difficult to see. Our bird feeds on insects found on tree trunks along with fruits, nuts, and seeds, nests in decayed cavities of dead trees, old stumps, or live trees with soft wood. That would be our mystery bird. Prizes include the Droll Yankees original iconic A6F classic tube feeder that comes with a lifetime warranty against squirrel damage, plus the app that makes learning bird sounds a game, the LarkWire app, and a 12-ounce bag of delicious, shade-grown, bird-friendly Birds and Beans coffee, our favorite coffee. It is good stuff, good for birds, and tastes great as well. Prizes and all that on our Mystery Bird Contest. The important part, of course, is the number. Please call us as soon as you can. Tell us what that bird is or take your guess at 781-837-4900. Once again, it's 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, we'll check in with Mike O'Connor. Let's ask Mike live in just 1 minute.
Here at Talkin' Birds, we're for the birds. And we want to say thanks to another Talkin' Birds ambassador who's helping to spread the word about our show and about birds and conservation.
My name is John Colbert, and I'm from Oakland, California. I became a Talkin' Birds ambassador because I wanted others to know that this informative and entertaining show existed as a great alternative to news. But what I like about being a Talkin' Birds ambassador is when someone later says to me, hey, that was cool, thank you for telling me about it. I think listeners should become Talkin' Birds ambassadors because it's easy and fun to turn birders onto a cool show about birds and conservation. And I think everyone should be interested in birds and conservation.
Talkin' Birds listeners, we hope you'll join our ambassadors family. Just visit our website, talkinbirds.com. Click on Get Involved at the top of the homepage and then choose the Become an Ambassador option. And thanks.
Well, we usually say Mike O'Connor is down there at the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. Not sure today, though. We're all at home and watching movies and stuff like that. And Mike is probably there, too. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Ray. 2 hours a day. That's all we're open.
2 hours a day, and so, you bring the stuff out to folks in their cars?
Right. After 2 hours, I'm exhausted from running back and forth, and people saying, I'm like a car hop, you know, so I can only do about 2 hours.
Are you being subjected to a lot of photographs with your short skirt and your roller skates?
I'm used to that by now.
You're used to it. That's kind of an old kind of an old thing now, right?
Yeah, that's right. Old school.
So we're staying home and watching movies and, you know, just thinking, we want to talk about some birding-themed movies, and there are so many of them. As we go down this list, we could just name them all, and that would use up all your time here.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, it's nice that there's a lot of bird movies, because, you know, people like you and I, we go to, you know, usually we'd be at the clubs and discos all the time, but now we're stuck in the house.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of, and fortunately, there's a lot of options. And most of these movies I'm going to name, you can download or stream. And there's a, you know, Netflix, iTunes, all those I'm not going to get into because I don't know what everybody else has. But there's a bunch, and there's movies about birders. The most noted one is The Big Year, where Jack Black, Steve Martin, and Owen Wilson tried to get together, not to get together, but compete with each other to see who could see the most birds in a single year. But there's also a weird one out there called The Birder.
Yeah.
And I found this movie funny and fascinating, but it's odd. It's about a guy who was supposed to become the head ornithologist at this provincial park in Canada, and some young hotshot birder beat him out. Mm. And it doesn't sound funny, but it's like Napoleon Dynamite. It's just weird, odd characters. It's not like that Tiger movie that people are watching now. Disgusting. It's just odd characters, and I found it kind of funny. So, but those are just about people that happen to be birders, but there's also good movies about birds that are out there. I think we all remember Wing Migration. That was beautiful, and that's still out there. March of the Penguins, that was another really one from a few years ago that's still out there people can see. But there's also one that Disney just came out with. It's called Crimson Wings. It's about the 2 million lesser flamingos that nest in Tanzania in Africa, and they all go to this one water area, which is highly salty, and they breathe there every year. And I found that just spectacular. I found that was, it's all one species. It's all about these flamingos, but it was just beautiful. There's a couple of scenes where, you know, some of the young flamingos, because it's Africa, they don't always grow up to be adults. So, you know, look the other way if that creeps you out. But most of it's really good. And then the classic, if you can find, you know, you can, I think you can download this, David Attenborough's Life of Birds. It's probably 20 plus years old now, but it's just, it's, I think it's like something, it's like 10 DVDs worth, so that's like, I don't know how many hours of bird movies you can stream, and it's really, really, really good. It's excellent and well worth watching, and it'll get you through some of these times till, you know, we can go back to the discos.
We can't wait. That's Mike O'Connor, who's store is open 2 hours a day, maybe only an hour now, because you're going to watch all those movies there.
That's right.
Talk to you next week, Mike.
Everybody stay safe. Yeah, thanks, Ray.
Every Wednesday, Birdwatching Magazine sends an e-newsletter full of information of interest to birdwatchers, including recent news stories about birds, conservation, and science, photography tips, stories about places to go birding, bird ID tips, and much more. Best of all, the newsletter is free. Sign up today at birdwatchingdaily.com/newsletter.
We're back to the Mystery Bird Contest, trying to identify this mystery bird. Beautiful prizes from Droll Yankees and the LarkWire app and Birds and Beans Coffee. And Larry is in Cohasset, Massachusetts this morning. Good morning, Larry.
How are we doing this morning?
Doing well, certainly under the circumstances, doing great. And how about you, Larry, and how about our mystery bird?
I'm going to say it's a flicker.
A flicker is Larry's guess. Let me check. Oh, that was a top-quality guess, Larry.
No.
But we had something else in mind this time.
Okay, that's it on that one, I guess.
All right. Stay well, Larry. Thank you.
Thank you, too.
Okay,
bye.
Take care. 781-837-4900 is the number on our Mystery Bird Contest. Susan is also in Massachusetts. This is a big Bay State day today. She's in Yarmouth Port on beautiful Cape Cod. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. A gorgeous day a little bit of rain.
It is a beautiful day. We had a little bit of snow in Boston yesterday.
We did.
Did you have some there, too?
We had a little bit just on the grass.
Just on the grass. That's all you need, really, is just on the grass there.
I'm one of your ambassadors and one of your biggest fans. I listen religiously every week.
Well, that is wonderful to hear, and thank you so much for that. And just for that, we're going to make sure you get the right answer on the mystery bird. No, we can't do that, but you can do that, maybe. What do you say it is?
Well, I think it's the red-bellied woodpecker.
It is indeed the red-bellied woodpecker, and this is not a fix. You really knew that.
I did. I hear him all the time.
Uh-huh. It's a very.
I better get this one right.
It's certainly a distinctive sound. Once you've heard that bird, you would never sort of forget it, I think.
Right.
Well, Susan, thank you. Stay on the line. We'll get your address and send you those prizes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Susan in Yarmouth Port, correctly identifying the red-bellied woodpecker as our mystery bird. Next week, he may be the first person ever to track the travels of a breeding pair of golden eagles. He's Andrew Berry from the Bernheim Arboretum and Research Forest in Claremont, Kentucky, and he'll be our special guest right here next week. Also next week, our resident Bird Book reviewer, Susan Edwards-Richmond, will join us to present another hatching in the Talkin' Birds book nest. Thanks to our amazing Talkin' Birds team, our senior producer, Debbie Bleacher, our outreach coordinator, Freya McGregor, our special assistant, Audrey Stack, and our producing engineer, Jesse Wilkins. I'm Ray Brown. Keep that 6-foot turkey vulture wingspan distance between you and other folks, and we'll see you next week.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And here's a special message from our friends at Ocean State Bird Club. They can't lead their free group walks right now, but they hope you're still getting your outdoor time in by watching birds. Find Ocean State Bird Club online at oceanstatebirdclub.org. Find them on Facebook, Ocean State Bird Club.